This is a woman special touch, touching hearts around the world, bringing you spiritual nuggets from the Word of God and treasures from lives that have been changed by His love. This is Norma Bonds, your host for the program. Bob Jones is my guest today. We've had him on a program previously, and he shared a lot about his life and how even after becoming a Christian, he went through some very serious depression and had a breakdown. And we want to expand upon that because I feel that there are others out there that could be going through something like that and they are wondering why. And he used a term that just really caught my ears because he was working very, very hard on his job and many, many hours that the physician finally diagnosed it like battle fatigue. And some of you may be facing that. Bob, welcome back to A Woman's Special Touch.
Hey, thank you, Norma. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, give us a little small rundown here again of that time in your life and what you were feeling and what you're experiencing and then what you've begun to learn because you have gone on here now to help a lot of people with this type of a situation.
Well, Norma, I think it started, as I mentioned, that when I started in business, I started a business from scratch, worked 6 days a week, sometimes seven, 14-hour days. So I really worked excessively, and my business became my life for one thing. And so I think there was a wrong motivation for one thing. I was out of balance. And also, as we had discussed, I had become a Christian and received Jesus into my heart, and that was a tremendous blessing and a big change in my life. But after a while, I started to have difficulties, and at work, I had problems of where I was suffering from depression after having 12 staff people in a 7-year period. It really took its toll on me. But also there was some spiritual confusion going on at the same time. I was excited about the good news of how simple it was to receive Jesus into my heart. And I heard the good news that, hey, Jesus died for the sins of all mankind. He rose again on the third day. And I realized I was a sinner. I wasn't perfect. And that I heard how just by receiving him into my life that I could have eternal life. And that was just a tremendous joy, and that lifted a great burden off my back. But then the question was, how do you live the life in the midst of a business world? And I think that's where really the struggles began, as I started to realize, you know, how interested is God in my business? How interested is he in purchasing a car, for example? And I remember I kind of went to extreme. I'd be looking at my Bible to see,
find
a verse for a car. And finally, my wife said, hey, Bob, you know, maybe we should go look for a car and maybe God will lead us. And so I go, oh, okay, that sounds like a good idea. So that shows the kind of mindset that I had. And I think as a new believer, sometimes you're inexperienced in understanding that God is after a life of dependence. And I think based on my background, coming from a religious background, it was a very self-effort, kind of you-can-do-it type mentality. And the Christian experience really is very different. God is looking for dependence, not independence. And I think very much as we grow up in this world, we're taught, and especially men, be independent.
Sure.
You can do it, you should do it, and if you can't do it, you got a major problem. So, fighting with that whole background, sometimes God takes us through a period of brokenness. And Watchman Nee, a Chinese missionary who wrote a book called The Normal Christian Life, talked about it being the dark night of a believer, which I wasn't aware of. I mean, I found out because I went through the dark night, in which God tears you down. It's like a reconstruction process, tears you down to the basic foundation and then rebuilds you in a new way. And what I felt is that God tore me down, but when I was going through it, sadly, I thought he was trying to kill me. I would say to God, God, you're trying to kill me. I mean, what are you doing to me? Here I'm trying to trust you, and you're just devastating me. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of rebellion in my heart as a new believer. And fortunately, with a lot of people praying, as I mentioned previously in another program, that God started to reveal some things, and one of the things he revealed is that he was looking for me to depend upon him. And this came as a maybe a great revelation, maybe it shouldn't have, but that he was really saying, look, I don't want you to do it. I want to do it through you and with you. And that may seem like just a wordplay, but it's the difference between, as a Christian, a life of torment versus a life of peace. And it's something I believe that is not always taught, that this life of dependence is the best way I could describe it. And as far as using a scripture verse, in Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul wrote, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know, that was very profound. I read that, and I go, well, what does that mean? And does that just apply to the Apostle Paul? But then as I began to even study Jesus' life, realized that Jesus, at the height of his ministry, height of his maturity, lived a total life of dependence upon his Father. So he was modeling the type of life we would live. So we wonder somehow, how did Jesus live that life? Well, he lived it by totally depending on his Father to work through him, not trying to grind it out even in his own strength, because he was God, but he almost laid down some of those attributes so that he could teach and we could observe of how he lived his life totally dependent upon his Father to work through him. And so it became kind of more of an amazing revelation that I had the idea that, you know, God would kind of put up a bar and then he'd say, jump over it, and then he'd keep raising it higher and higher and higher. And I was thinking, you know, God, this is impossible. Why are you telling me to jump over this bar? I can't do it. When what he was really trying to say is, look, I'm trying to show you that you can't jump over the bar. I already jumped over it for you. I want you to rest in me so I can work through you. And that makes a marvelous difference. Now, it's a lifelong process, and yes. And I'll share with you that talk is cheap, mm-hmm. but when we get into the toughness of life, life is difficult.
And it is. That's true. Well, how long would you say you were in this period of depression?
Yeah, I would say, from start to finish, I mean, it had to be at least probably 3 years or mm-hmm. somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, well, the reason I want to encourage people out there, if they're going through something difficult and they don't see any end to it, there can be an end, but sometimes it's a long time. And all depression, of course, can not stem from the same thing. But I just know that there's a lot of people that are facing depression right now, and I'd like to see them really rest and trust in the Lord in the midst of it. I know that there may be people who do need medication, but
absolutely.
There's a lot that probably don't need it, that need to pull back from whatever they're doing too much of or something, to be able to give their body and their mind a time to really refresh. But, you know, again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to – I don't want anybody throwing out anything that they should be maybe taking. But I also don't want them to be going and grabbing for the pills to take care of their – some of these problems.
Well, I think the idea of salvation, when we hear the word salvation, a lot of times in a Christian realm, we think of that being the time we received Jesus. But if you really look at the word salvation, it means health, wholeness, deliverance, rescue. So it's really seeing God as our deliverer for every aspect of our life. And this is why it's so important to see that God is interested in details, because he's a God that's concerned about your thought life. He's concerned about your finances. He's concerned about your business, all these different things. Now, we fret and fume and do a lot of things as believers. No matter how long you've been a believer, you're in a process. And I think the thing that helped me tremendously is realizing that when you receive Christ into your life, he comes and lives in you, and you're complete in one sense. But then there's a process of where he wants you to learn to depend on him so he can express his life through you in a unique way. He doesn't destroy your personality. What he does is use your gifts and abilities and works together with you to make you all that we can be like him. I mean, that I think that's really the goal. But it's a lifelong process. But we have these tremendous blessings that we're one with him. It says we're raised in heavenly places. We're his children. We're secure. It says we're sealed mm-hmm. by the Holy Spirit. So that's just, you know, just a few. But, I mean, there's just tons of scriptures which tell about what Jesus has done. So in baseball terms, I like baseball, you know, you're on the team when you receive Christ. And you have a perfect batting average because Jesus hit 1,000, which is a perfect batting average for you. Mm. But now he's saying, hey, learn to hit like me. But what we're going to do is that I'm going to swing the bat with you. So Jesus wants to get up there and put his arms around you and swing the bat so that it's a continual life of dependence. You know, the Apostle Paul said, you know, I'm not adequate in myself, but I'm adequate in Christ. And he said, in this vessel, earthen vessel, we have this great treasure, meaning the indwelling presence of God. So Paul repeatedly was saying that the key to the Christian life is the indwelling presence of God within you. And often misunderstood is that until the day you die, you have a part of you called your self, sinful self, and it's called the flesh. It's not who you really are anymore, but it's part of you. And therefore, that's why you struggle with temptation and problems. But really, the scripture says that the only solution for overcoming sin is really the power of the Spirit, God within you, as we draw off him and lean on him to come to our aid.
Well, Bob, that is really good. If we had some listeners out there who really don't know for sure that they know Jesus Christ personally, just give us a little bit of what they need to do or what they need to understand. I mean, you've kind of covered that. You really have covered it. But just realizing that there's somebody listening right now that maybe they've had the religious background, but it's just not fulfilling to them, and they're searching, and they know that there's something else that they need.
Well, I think the amazing thing of how simple it is to receive Jesus, it cost Jesus a tremendous amount, but just the key is that, number one, he died for the sins of all mankind, including yours personally. Number two, he rose from the dead on the third day. And the other thing is recognizing that you're imperfect. And, you know, in baseball terms, if you want to get on God's team, you got to bat 1,000. You got to hit perfect. And there's nobody, no matter how good they are, that's going to hit 1,000. And so the whole point is, I think if we're honest, we all can't do it perfectly. So you got to be perfect. So God is just saying, look, you can't do it. I've offered my son. He's perfect. I accept him. All you need to do is just say, Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I receive you into my heart. And I'm going to trust you for the rest of my life and rest in you, and you begin this lifelong process then of dependence.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for joining us today. Our programs are available on CD for $5 to cover our costs. Please write into A Woman Special Touch, P.O. Box 1288, Valley Springs, California, 95252. That's A Woman Special Touch, P.O. Box 1288, Valley Springs, California, 95252. And if you have a prayer request, give us a call at 209-772-2449. God bless you. Jesus is the light, and he brightens my day.